Let's look to the Word of God today. The message today is very simple, and I think will be brief as well. But we're going to conclude the day. We've been talking now for about 12 weeks on the 23rd Psalm. Let's read it together, shall we? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now this morning I'm going to finish this last part. Here's the text. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the context of a cup that overflows, one that is abundant, that is more than enough, that overflows, that never ceases and never fails, he says that goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And here's this wonderful promise, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I kind of wanted you to see this in some other translations. In the NIV, it reads like this, goodness and love unfailing, these will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life. I'm ringing up here. In today's English version, I know that Your goodness and love will be with me all my life, and Your house will be my home as long as I live. Isn't that good? And finally, the Message Bible, Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Reading these verses is kind of like opening a box of jewels. Excuse me. I'll try it again. You read these verses, it's like opening a box of jewels. Goodness, unfailing love, mercy, all my days, dwell forever. They're like sparkling diamonds, but far more precious. In its entirety, the psalm was written. It's important to understand. In its entirety, it was written to demonstrate how good the Good Shepherd is. And conversely, how blessed are the sheep of His pasture. All the benefits enjoyed by a flock under the skilled and loving shepherd have been drawn for us in bold lines. They lie down in green pastures. They drink from still waters. I'm sorry. As they are led into paths of righteousness, they are refreshed and restored. Even in the darkest place, they have no fear. For He's with them, with a rod to protect them, and a staff to rescue them. They are led through the valleys to the high mountain tablelands, to a place prepared for them. They're anointed with oil. They are shielded from disease and protected from death. Now, all of this is summed up by one simple statement. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Under the skilled, strong, loving hands of their shepherd, goodness and mercy is all they will ever receive from Him. Can I say that again? Under the skilled, strong, loving hands of their shepherd, goodness and mercy is all they will ever receive from Him for the rest of their days. It's like an exclamation point of explicit confidence in the One who cares for them. From this literary portrait, we come to a better understanding of what it means to say, the Lord is my shepherd. having seen His heart, having received His love, having been rescued, protected, fed, guarded, and guided by His strong but tender hands, I know that my serenity in the present, my hope for the future, is secure in Him. This is the supreme portrait of my shepherd. Continually from Him flows to me His goodness and mercy, which though I do not deserve them, come unremittingly from His own great heart of love for His sheep. And here, right here, is the essence of all that has gone before in this psalm. He is summarizing it. He's tying it all up with a summary statement. All the care, all the work, all the watchfulness, all the skill, the concern, all the self-sacrifice that we've seen in the shepherd are born from His love for His sheep. And it is a love that never ends. He doesn't just anoint my head with oil. He continually anoints my head with oil all the days of my life. He doesn't just prepare a table before me. He continually prepares a table before me all the days of my life. He isn't just with me in a valley. He is with me in every dark valley. All the days of our life. He doesn't just restore and rescue us. He will always restore and rescue us the days of our life. He doesn't just lead me in a path of righteousness. He will always lead me in the path of righteousness all the days of our lives. He doesn't just bring me to still waters and green pastures. He will always lead me to green pastures and still waters all the days of our life. All the good He's done is commingled with His great mercy. That is, it is mixed with compassion and tenderness. And when you think about it, goodness and mercy encompasses every blessing you could possibly hope for, expect, or ask for comes under the umbrella of those two things. Every blessing of God is a blessing of His goodness and His mercy. Amen. Now, I want you to understand this. Through this poem and throughout it, David highlights the goodness of the Good Shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And then he points the audience to explain and describe and profile what a good shepherd looks like. He wants to demonstrate just how good the Good Shepherd is. He's not just good, but perfect in all of His ways. He is the quintessential example of what a shepherd should look like. He gets an A++++. There is no point of weakness. There is no area where He is deficient, inadequate, or negligent. In Him, the highest standards are not only met, they are surpassed. But that points to a secondary and necessary conclusion. Because if that is so, and it is so, then what does that say about the sheep who are under His care? It points us to a necessary conclusion regarding the welfare of the sheep for whom He cares. That's why the ending of this psalm is a commentary on the blessed state of those who can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." They can say, "I shall not want," and they shall not want for anything for the rest of their lives. If the shepherd is in all he does and in all his ways the good shepherd we have seen, then how blessed are his people and how blessed will his flock be? Are you understanding that? Are you understanding that? The question is, how could we have it any better? Is there any place we could go where it would be better than this? Is there anything better than this? Where could I go to improve my lot in life? Where could I find a better house to dwell in? Where could I find a better shepherd to live under? Nowhere. Nowhere. So he says, I will dwell in this house. The house of the Lord. Forever. There is no thought of leaving. There is no thought of looking to another source. Because he said, right here, I have found the perfect shepherd. And there is no better lot in life than this. And as you think about that, think of the days that are behind you for a minute. And if you're like me, as I look behind me and the long paths, I see His goodness and mercy everywhere I look. Everywhere behind me, the goodness and the mercy of God. As I think about, and you think about, our steps today, I know that they are ordered by the Lord and they will be overshadowed by His goodness and mercy. And as I think about the days that are ahead, do we know what they will bring? We don't. Will it always be smooth sailing and easy moving forward? I can't say that either. But one thing I do know, because this shepherd is who he is, who I have seen him to be in the Psalms, okay? As I've recognized him, as David has presented him, there's one thing I absolutely know about the future. My future days, they too will be graced by the goodness and mercy of God. And there's an important word in this portion of the psalm. In fact, I think it may be the most important word in this psalm. And it is on this translation, but it was in the previous one. I think it's that word, surely. Surely goodness and mercy. Not maybe, not perhaps, not possibly, not perchance, not if you perform up to a certain level, not if you earn it, but the word is surely. And in a world that is filled with uncertain, there is one thing that is absolutely, undisputably, completely, totally, utterly, definitely, definitively, positively, unconditionally, unquestionably, unequivocally certain. And that is that because He is my shepherd, His goodness and mercy will follow me for how long? All the days of my life, and in the life to come, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How can it get better than that? How can it be? And what does He do? He follows me. I love it because as the shepherd who leads ahead, He leads me in the right paths. He leads me to still waters. He takes me to green pastures. He prepares the table lands. He prepares and leads me to the safe heavens. But He is also at my rear guard. It's good to know that He's got our back. Amen. That following behind me is goodness and mercy. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord how long? Forever. Now I've lived all over the country. We're talking this morning. I forget who we're talking with. We're talking about traveling. We're talking with Needham. We're talking about traveling. I've visited a lot of places. I've been to 46 of the 50 states of the United States. Most of those I've been there twice. And maybe I get the other four before I die. I've been about 25 different countries. I've been in a lot of places, and I have lived in a lot of places. I've lived in a mobile home twice. We stayed for a while in a hostel in Germany. I lived in a dormitory. I've lived in apartments. I've lived in houses. All of those places have at least one thing in common. They're temporary. Every last one of them, including the one I'm living in now. It's just where I'm going to stay until it's time to move to the permanent home. Here's what I know. That's why Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, said, in this world we have no certain dwelling place. We have no certain dwelling place. And believe me, that's especially true when you're in the ministry, isn't it, Brother Elton? You're not real sure, okay? But here's what I know. I have a forever home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have to pay. It's paid for in full. It's taken care of. I won't have a mortgage there. I won't have taxes there. I don't have to worry about it. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. And I have a forever home. And there is nothing like home. There's nothing like home. God has put a homing instinct in us, hasn't He? He really has. There's a proclivity, a tendency. He put it in the animal, in the animals of the creation, the salmon. There's a place. I mean, they're just fish, but they know when it's time to swim, and they fight those waters and swim back upstream to go back to the inlets where their life began. They go back to that place. How do they know? How can they find? They're out in the sea, but they come back and find that exact place. They find it. Have you ever seen, I don't know, we used to, when we lived in Yakima, Washington, we used to watch those big Canadian geese in the wintertime. When it was time for winter, here they would come in those formation. The big, beautiful geese, they would fly south for the winter. And then when the winter was over, they would fly back. How is it that they know? They never get lost. They never get stranded. They never lose their way. They know exactly when and where to go and how to find their way. How is it that they know this? There have been many a person lost out maybe in the bush country that just threw the reins over the head of the horse and gave the horse his head, and he was able to take them back to the camp. Maybe you've experienced the same thing in that dog or cat that you tried to get rid of and put in your car and circled around everywhere and drove in loops and circles and everywhere, and you shouldn't have done that, by the way, put that cat and dog out like that. You shouldn't have done it, but when you did, you got back and there was the dog sitting on your porch when you got back home. Now I ask you, would God guide the fish in the sea and direct the course of birds in the air and the beasts of the field and allow us to lose our way? No, there is a homing instinct in us. And I've traveled, and I noted when Brian and Carmen finally got home, they came back because Brian's grandfather had died. And they were all the way in Savannah, Georgia, and they were able to stop by and see us for a while. And they drove, and that's a lot of driving. It's about, you know, from Savannah back to Colorado to be about 2.5 days. And from our house, it's about 1.5 days. And they've been driving and driving, and I noted when he got back home, he said, I'm glad to be home. Everybody here has experienced that at some point in your time, in your life. Maybe you're at college, you're glad to get home. Because you had a big load of laundry you brought home for your mama to wash. Like the little boy that got mad and told his mother, said, I'm running away from home. She said, well, son, I'm sorry. You're going to run away from home? She said, yes. He said, what do you do when you get hungry? He said, I'll come back and you can fix me a sandwich. He said, what are you going to do when your clothes get dirty? I'll come back and you can wash them. She said, son, you're not running away from home. You're going off to college. Be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. And so this also reminds me today, and it should remind you, here's what we need to remember. This world is not my home. Amen. This world, I'm not attached to this world. I'm just a pilgrim. It is my passion, but it is not my portion. I am in the world, but I am not of the world. My treasures are not here. They are laid up in heaven. And I'm just on my way to a better place, to a better country. Hallelujah. To a city whose builder and maker is God. To a better country where God is not ashamed to be called our God. What you're looking at here is the glorious hope and the glorious future of the believer. No matter what comes tomorrow, no matter what happens next year, no matter what comes or goes, good times or bad, happy times or sad, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want, I shall not want for anything, and His goodness and His mercy will follow me all the days of this life, and when this life is over, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. That is His word. The psalmist summed it up like this. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Let's stand.